The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord. And to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people, Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them, and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There is also a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. Coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of the Lord was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. This feast of the Holy Family always comes in the midst of the holiday season when we've probably seen our family quite a bit. I'm part of a relatively small family. I just have an older sister and a younger brother, so there's just 5-6 of us now that my sister is married with her kids. So there's 10 or 15 of us, but my dad was one of 11 kids. So we would always get together for Christmas Eve, and I would get to experience the joy and chaos of a large family. When all of the aunts and uncles and cousins were there, there was always noise and commotion and lots of fun. I always enjoyed it as a kid. But my mom said she had to get very used to being around the Burns family. Because when you grow up as one of 11, there's a few real easy rules that you have to become accustomed to. One is, when there's food out, don't wait, because somebody else is going to eat it, right? So if you're hungry and you want food and it's there, just go get some, right? We're not going to be real kind and wait for you. You just got to take care of yourself in those moments. But also, more importantly, and probably what frustrated my mother the most, was that the noise level would just increasingly get louder and louder and louder. Because my dad and his brothers and sisters learned you didn't need to wait for somebody else to acknowledge that you were going to speak. You just need to speak loud enough to where they could hear you. So if somebody else was starting talking, you just need to talk louder than them. And then that's when your point gets heard, right? So it just gets louder and louder and louder. So I always remember growing up in those Christmas Eves at my grandma and grandpa's house with 50 or 60 people running around in this tiny house, and it just would get so loud. I always enjoyed it as a kid, but as I got older, I realized that it was kind of chaotic. It was kind of not how I wanted my life to always be. I liked it to be a little more quiet and more at peace. So I'm reminded on this feast day of the Holy Family that there are many great things that come to us with family life, those gifts of our parents and our siblings, our cousins and extended family. They give us things that we definitely don't deserve, but they offer us in great abundance. But it also comes with that attachment to these other human beings that we didn't choose, but that are always part of our family. That comes with some things that maybe wouldn't be exactly as we would want it, or not exactly as convenient as it was if it was just us by ourselves. And sometimes as we get to the end of the holiday season, we start to feel that more than anything, that it's nice to see our family, and it's nice also when either we get to go home or they get to go home. It's nice when everything's kind of back to normal. But I think that tension that we feel with our family actually highlights something very important about this feast of the Holy Family. Because Jesus, in coming born of Mary and into the family of Mary and Joseph, shows that it is not good for human beings to be alone. That line certainly from the book of Genesis when God creates Eve for Adam, that it's not good for Adam to be alone, but Jesus was also born into a family. He doesn't show up as a solitary individual like some alien dropped down from the sky to save us. Instead, he chose to be born of a woman, to be born into the Holy Family. That he too was born into a place where he was literally attached and related to these people anyways, in good times and in bad, in times that it was easy, but also in times that it was maybe a little inconvenient for him. I think the point of that the church wants to point out for us today is not that we should complain more about our families or notice all the flaws in them. Notice all the ways that they aren't yet like the Holy Family. Instead, it's that in precisely those moments of tension, those moments of friction in relationship with others, that we ourselves become holy. That it's actually in those simple daily things in our homes, that it's in those moments when we don't know how to react because things are different than we would expect. It's precisely those moments that we can choose to love. We can choose to say, this isn't how I would want it to be, or this isn't the most easy way for me to handle this right now. But out of love for my family and the people around me, I will choose to embrace it and to say yes to it. Brothers and sisters, that's the beauty of family life. It's not that it's always perfect or always easy, but that it always pulls us out of ourselves. That it's good for us to be in relationship with others, not because it's always easy or joyful, because it always shows us a path to love, a path to choosing the good of the other, especially when that's inconvenient or not exactly as I would have it. I think that's the reminder for Mary and Joseph in today's gospel. They've received this newborn child. They know there's something very special about him. He's going to be called the Son of God. They've seen the angels praising him at his birth. The shepherds and the magi come and visit him. They've already had to flee from Herod because Herod was worried about what would happen to him. And then they come back to Jerusalem to perform the purification rituals. And they realize that all of these things are true about Jesus, their child. But because they are his parents, they also become about them. Because if you notice what Simeon says in this prophecy is, he speaks about Jesus himself, that this child is destined for the rise and fall of many in Israel. And he will be a sign that will be contradicted. Okay, that's very nice. That's all about Jesus and stuff. Wouldn't necessarily apply to Mary and Joseph. But then he looks at Mary and he says, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many may be revealed. I think for Mary and Joseph, maybe even for the first time, they realize this mission of Jesus to come and save the world is not just something that he is doing on his own. but that they, by being his parents, are now involved in a part of this plan of great salvific love. And so they can't just kind of fade back into the background and assume that Jesus is going to do his thing. But actually, because they're part of the Holy Family, they actually have to participate in it. And because she is the mother of God, Mary will have this sword pierce her with great sorrow, especially at the foot of the cross. It's not just something for someone else, not just for Jesus to do alone. But by being in his family, they're actually included in it. To put it another way, because they are the parents of Jesus, they're invited to love as he loves. Not just to kind of witness it or not just kind of look at it as a third party, but to become a part of that love of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, let us pray that in our own families, we can learn that same lesson. We can participate in the love of Christ, one that is without any conditions or reservations. One that loves others, yes, when things are joyful and we get to celebrate and do great and wonderful things with our parents, our siblings, and our extended families. But also when those relationships make things a little bit complicated. But maybe it isn't as we would want it or makes our lives pretty inconvenient and unexpected. I think in the same way, those should be moments when we learn to love as God loves. Love not because it's easy for us, but because we are part of that family. Because it's better for us not to be alone, but to continue to be in that loving relationship with them. Brothers and sisters, in this Mass, let us thank God for the example of the Holy Family. The way that Mary and Joseph and Jesus show us what a united and peaceful family looks like. Let us also pray for the grace to be like them. That through the daily lives of our families, we can learn to love others as God has loved us.